Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 11. Finding out the identity of Bethlehem's babe. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. The scripture says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Could we say that, read that verse together? If you don't have it, it is up on the screen. All together. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If you look at that, you can find three names for Jesus there: Savior, Christ, and Lord. And we'll look at those three names tonight. Father, we ask your blessing upon this service, upon this message, Lord. May it again bring comfort and joy to our hearts as we reflect on who you are tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is probably nothing equal to the majesty and glory of the Christmas story. Perhaps no other story in the Bible speaks with such clarity about the power and the purpose of God. You know, just the fact that God stepped out of eternity into time to me is mind-boggling. He who knew no time, and yet the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. I read of the fact that the shepherds, lowly and undeserving, were called and had great opportunity and great witness to the birth of Jesus Christ. I read of the wise men, and I rejoice that these pagan travelers traveled so far to come and meet Jesus and to present gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I read of the manger, and I'm reminded that Jesus laid aside certain attributes that he possessed in heaven so that he could become a man and dwell among us and die for us. I read all these things, and my mind can barely grasp, I don't think it can grasp, the love that God had for a lost and broken humanity. That history was his story, but he was willing to write himself into the history books so that he could make a difference in his world. Then I am called back to the words of the angel who visited the shepherds on that Judean hillside that night. In the angel's words, we find the true glory of Christmas. Because no matter what else we make of it, Christmas will always be about the baby born in Bethlehem. It can't be any other way. I know they're trying to remove Jesus out of Christmas. I don't know how you can do that at all. Christmas will always be about Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem. And so I want to look at the threefold identity of that baby. Notice who the angel said that baby was. First of all, he's given the title Savior, the name Savior. It's a title of acceptance. This child's mission wasn't to save the wealthy or the righteous. He came to set the sinner free. It says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We were all lost at one time, so that means Jesus came to seek and to save us. He came for those nobody else wanted. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." As Savior, he provides three essential services to the sinner. First of all, acceptance. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "We are accepted in the Beloved." We might be rejected by other people, might be rejected from even from your own family, but you are accepted in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have accepted you. We are accepted in him because he is our Savior. And then the second service he provides to the sinner is deliverance. We are delivered in him. We're delivered from sin's penalty. We have been delivered from sin's power. We are delivered even from sin's presence. That is full and complete deliverance. He shall save. He shall deliver his people from their sins. And thirdly, preservation. We are preserved in him. Those whom Jesus sets free are free indeed. Those who he saves, as we talked about this morning, he has the power to keep us save, to keep us from falling, and to present us before his throne with exceeding joy. Thank God that when Jesus came that time, he didn't come as a judge. He came as our Savior. John chapter 3 and verse 17, we don't usually hear that verse too often. We quote 16. But verse 17 is really neat too. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we look at Savior. Another name that Jesus has there is Christ. That is the title of access. This child came to do more than simply provide salvation. He came to allow us access into the very presence of God. Do you know that it's because of Jesus that we can approach the Heavenly Father? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so Jesus provided a way for us to have access to God, to come boldly before his throne, to find whatever we have need of, to find mercy, to find grace, the desire and power to do what's right, to do God's will. Jesus provided that for us, but he was the only one who could ever provide that for us. Jesus is the only means of access. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus is the title of, or Christ is the title of access. Jesus came so that we might have access to the Father, we might approach the Father, and then we might appeal to the Father. In John chapter 16 and verse 23, Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." The name Christ refers to Jesus as the Anointed One, or the Anointed High Priest. In this ministry, he addresses the Father on our behalf. He does that in two ways. First of all, he talks to the Father on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." That's a great thought. Jesus Christ intercedes for you and I. He sits at the throne of God, and he is the anointed high priest making intercession for us. And then, not only does he make the intercession, but he pleads our case before the throne of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have someone who will represent our case before God. I don't think that Jesus is capable of losing a case. And so is our great mediator, so is our great advocate, defense attorney. He pleads our case before God. He won't lose. We'll win. We got the right man on our side, Jesus Christ. And then the name Lord is the title of authority. When the angel called Jesus Lord, he was referring to the one who was in absolute control. This title of our Lord is a reminder to every Christian that Jesus Christ is to be the absolute authority in our lives. We are to allow him headship in every area of our beings. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then he goes on and tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is good, it's acceptable to us, and it's perfect. It is absolutely perfect. That's why we can say with complete confidence that God's will is exactly what we would choose if we knew all the facts. But Jesus, from his place from his throne of heaven, where he is high and lifted up. He can see down the road. He knows all about our lives, and he's orchestrating the events that come our way so that we can be blessed and so that we can live life to the fullest. Life can have its richest meaning. But in order for him to be able to do that, we need to submit to his lordship in every area. God's demand for total obedience really is not too much to ask. When we think of what Jesus did for us, that's why Paul, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, I beg you, knowing God's mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's not too much to ask. It's only a reasonable service, he goes on to say. All that Jesus Christ has done for us, it's only reasonable that we would surrender our lives and our bodies to him and to his service. God knows that true love is always shown by obedience to him. And that's why Jesus could say, if you love me, keep my commandments. The proof is in the obedience. The proof is in obeying what God has said, obeying the commandments of our Lord. Of course, it's Christmas time, and as such, we need to remember that the reason we are even here today is because of a little infant born into the world over 2,000 years ago. But that infant was no ordinary baby. He was our Savior. As Savior, he is worthy of our worship. He is Christ. As Christ, he is worthy of our dependence. He is Lord. As Lord, he is worthy of our obedience. As Jesus, he is worthy of all we can give to him. And so I'd just like you to think tonight and just meditate on your life. Have you given Jesus your all? Have you given him everything? If not, you could give him a Christmas present tonight. You could give him yourself. That's what he wants more than anything. He wants your heart. He's not concerned with anything else. He just wants to know if he has your heart. It's only reasonable for you tonight to give him your heart. He gave his life. He gave his all. He gave his best for you and I. We can give him our hearts tonight. How much of your heart have you given him? How much of your heart have you held back for yourself, reserved for you? And how much of your heart have you given to Christ? Maybe tonight you could just take a little step of faith and say, Lord, I'd like to give you my whole heart, but I don't know if I can, and so I'm going to give you more of my heart than I've given you in the past. And if we can give the Lord just a little bit of our heart at a time, eventually we'll be able to give him the whole thing. Just ask for enough grace to be able to do more. Don't look at giving all. Just look at, Lord, I need enough grace just to be able to do more, just to give you more. And the Lord will honor that step of faith. He wants to be ruler of your heart today. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Jesus, as your Savior, is worthy of your worship. As Christ, he is worthy of your dependence. As Lord, he is worthy of your obedience. I've seen you worship him tonight. It's hard to tell how much you depend upon him. But he wants you to depend upon him. He would love it if we could all get to the place where we could honestly say, Jesus, you are all I need. But I want to focus on, as Lord, he is worthy of our obedience. Are you obeying him tonight? He's calling you to a walk, to a life of obedience. As Jesus, he is worthy of all you could give to him. How much have you given him? How much of your heart? How much of your life? Heavenly Father, tonight as we meditate on these thoughts, and we meditate upon that baby that was born in Bethlehem, realizing tonight that that baby became our Savior, tonight we worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Lord, tonight as Christ, you are worthy of our dependence. Deep down, we all know that we need you. Desperately, we need you. And Lord, we want to be obedient. We want to walk in obedience. So we realize that to trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, you are worthy of all we could ever give to you. Have more of us this Christmas than you've had in the past, till eventually you can be the ruler over all the kingdoms of our heart. If there's somebody that has reached that place tonight, Lord, we praise you for that. But for those that are still realizing that there are kingdoms that you have yet to conquer, there are kingdoms that we need yet to surrender, Lord, help us to be surrendering them this year. And as you reveal to us what kingdoms we have not surrendered, may we willingly do so. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.